But this morning, our message is centered on the book of Colossians. And if you will please turn there as we read. Again, I remind you, as we read, as you listen to the word of God, keep on praying in your heart. Pray that God will enable you, open your eyes to see, open your heart to receive wonderful truths, which will stabilize you, which will bless you, and be a lamp to your feet, a light to your path, to guide you along life's pathway. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read for you verses 1 to 5. Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face. Verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together, that is, united in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. These words written by Paul to the Colossian Christians of 2,000 years ago apply very well to us here this morning. Do you know that? God's word is never out of date. Always fresh, powerful, and profitable. So, dear friends up there, I greet you all. So good you are here in God's house once more to read together and to consider these few verses written by one who at one time was the sworn enemy of the gospel. When we think of that, we marvel at God's wonderful, mysterious plan to call an enemy of the gospel to make him to be the greatest of the apostles and to make him a blessing to you and me today. Isn't that great? Please understand about what you're reading. The letter to the Colossians was written by Paul and to people he had not met, to a church he had not visited, but it causes him to be so concerned. What does he say in the first verse? Please see. He says, I would that you should know what great conflict I have for you. What does he mean? What do you mean by a conflict? Somebody who writes to you a letter says, I want you to know how I'm so in great conflict because of you. It is a very wonderful meaning to say, because of the things I've heard about you, I'm in so worked up, excited, concern for you. The conflict is for you, for your welfare. And while you listen to this, say, Lord, may those words of Paul apply to me, that his great concern for me will not go waste. For he is concerned with a godly concern for your welfare. Dear friends at Pandan, there is a wonderful God we have, whom we love, though we have not seen, Jesus Christ. And he's concerned for you. And he causes Paul to write this letter to the Colossian Christians that applies to us today. How wonderful that you can all take this home and say, the Lord has spoken today to me. He tells me that he is concerned. For Paul's concern is God's concern. For he's concerned for the people he had never seen. Why? Answer is because they all are part of a family. Do you know that we sit here as family? Are you happy to see each other? How unfortunately, you know, when family is so big, we hardly know more than a dozen people. And besides that, outside that, we all look like strangers, don't we? Yes. That's why I said many times before, I enjoy those trips, which are getting fewer, to our overseas churches, which are 30, 40, 70, 80. I know every one of them because there are few. Now here, the family has grown so big. Nevertheless, let us bear up with one another. Don't mind if people keep on looking at you like a stranger. This is the big church syndrome, yeah? Can't be helped. I ask people, hey, what church you go to? I go to Pandan, you know. How long? 8 years. I never saw you. It's terrible, terrible. Pastor doesn't know the members. Shepherd doesn't know the sheep. Can't be helped. We all are human. Now, back to where we were. Paul is very concerned about this church and the members in Colossae because they are under attack. How do we know? It says here, verse 4, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Paul has written this because he has heard the church at Colossae had been infiltrated by false teachers. And this happens all the time. Wherever the gospel is preached, Satan is not far behind with his false teachers, false preachers who will come in and claim to know something better than what is being taught out of the Bible. They use the Bible, but they distort. So this passage to the Colossian Christians applies to us. For there have been those who have come in and told us certain things. Your King James Bible has mistakes. What do you say to that? So I said, dear friends, God's word is so marvelous. Now let's go back to here. Verse 2. Paul says, I would that their hearts, whose hearts? The members of the church at Colossae. And I say, again, applying it to ourselves, that your hearts, thou read, verse 2, that your hearts might be comforted. For there was great unrest. In one day we get many emails, phone messages, inquiries. What is this we hear that King James Bible got mistakes? Then how can we use a Bible that has got mistakes to be our light, to be our lamp of our feet? So this is the unrest that can come into a church because of one or two or three people. Verse 2, Paul says, it is my great desire and prayer that your hearts might be comforted. The word comfort here does not only apply to comforting persons in sorrow and grief of bereavement, for example, or terrible sickness, and you need to comfort the person. The comfort here means to strengthen and stabilize. People get disturbed. Unrest comes in. And people waver in their faith. Remember what the Lord Jesus says? Let not your heart be troubled. I will go, and you will miss me, but I will pray the Father to send you the Comforter, the one who will come and comfort you, to strengthen you in your walk of faith. And oftentimes, this walk of faith is not easy, and we waver. Sometimes we grow faint. Do you? Admit it. We all do. Sometimes I say, it's so difficult, so troublesome to go on in the Christian life. Let me take leave of God. Those are the times you need comfort from the Comforter. And who is the Comforter? The Comforter is the Holy Spirit of promise. God the Father in heaven, God the Son Jesus Christ, having done his work of redemption for us, rising from the dead, returns to heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. And there he prays for you and me. And there he sends the Spirit of himself. The Spirit of Jesus is the Comforter. And he is with us. How do you know? How do I know? The Word of God says so, please. For if you do not have the Spirit of God in you, you're not a believer. You could not have believed without the Spirit of God coming into you. So he is the Comforter. Are you following? Right. So the Comforter is sent to stabilize us. You are wavering in your faith. You're wondering now, is the King James Bible reliable? Since I'm told it's got mistakes. At that time, you need the Comforter to comfort you. Now look at verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted. Yes. Whenever you feel a sense of doubt, a sense of uselessness, of wavering, should I go on and serve in this committee or that fellowship? And those fears come and assail you, what do you do? What do you do? Pray the Spirit of God to come mightily upon you, to be your comforter, to comfort you, to strengthen you. This is the exact meaning, literal meaning of the comfort, is to strengthen. You're weak. By yourself, you're going to fall. At that moment, pray. Right? You please remember that. You pray and God the Father and Jesus Christ in heaven will send the Holy Spirit to you to strengthen you, comfort you, stabilize you, that you will not waver anymore. You will have no more doubts. Praise the Lord for the Comforter. He is sent for that wonderful purpose, to be with us, to live inside us, and to guide us every day, and to teach us the ways of God. You cannot understand the Bible except by the working of the Comforter in your hearts. You can read, but it means nothing to you until you say, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, open my eyes, illumine my understanding. I'm dull, I'm foolish, I need your help. That moment, Holy Spirit Comforter will teach you. So, this is Paul's concern and my concern. Yes, in the position of pastor, the burden of the flock is mine, as well as Pastor Quick. This is our business, and we are concerned that all our sheep, all our members here, understand the Word of God, for therein is the comfort, not in any other words. When we go visiting, and we did this yesterday, those bereaved, what do you talk to the bereaved family? What do you say to them? Of course, not at this time to say, Kong Si Fa Cai, that is meaningless, you see. What do we talk to them? The only thing that will help the bereaved today is the Word of God, the Word of Comfort, to share with them Your loved one is departed, and you are grieved and heavy-hearted, broken-hearted, of course. When the wife is grieving for the husband, what do you tell them? Where is the comfort? No other source of comfort, no other place to find that comfort except in the Word of God. Then give it to them, pray with them, and there will be comfort that God will send. So, verse 2, Paul's concern is that the hearts of the Colossian Christians may be comforted, strengthened, made stable, and strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, any of you here ever going through temptation, going through difficulties, remember this verse. Pray that the Comforter will comfort you, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. There are many words here. And in that construction of the sentence, a little long and involved, and it takes time to analyze. So let us analyze. What is he talking about? Firstly is that the people might be comforted, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, knit together in love. If the church members understand we are one family redeemed by the blood of Jesus and we all are one and behave as one and do as the Lord Jesus says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples because you have love one for another. Then practice it, that no matter who attacks us, no matter who spreads rumors about the Bible, we will stand together. That is the first step it says here. Knit together in love. You know what is knitting? Yes. It's so closely woven, so closely knit. That kind of union is not easily broken. That's what we need in a church. Please never, never use any words that will create unrest. Words that will hurt the other party who hears the words. Words that do not edify, do not speak them. Words that sow doubt about the Word of God, never use them, because those things are satanic. So, Paul says, let your hearts be comforted and you be united. Praise God that this church has been united. You cannot stop a few who detract from the truth. There is no way, because we are an open door church. We welcome all. But woe to those who come in and sow discord, to those who spread lies about people, to those who attack the Word of God. There is great tribulation and God will judge. So with this, I say, dear friends, we take heart in all that we do in this ministry in Calvary Pandan. We are assured because for 28 years, this church is built on this here. Thy word is truth. This church is built on nothing but the Word of God and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be united. How can we stand against the enemy if we are divided and become fragmented? Then we will fall. Look on. Knit together in love. And unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Please understand the Bible. This is what it says here. If we all understand the Bible, we have a common bond that binds us together. You know that. So the Word of God that we hold dear is the Bible. But dear friends, how well do you know the Bible? Do you have the full assurance of the understanding of the truth through the Bible? Do you read with understanding, with assurance, with faith, with joy, And to know that the Word of God is so precious, better than millions of gold and silver, better than that. Oh, my friends, this verse is difficult, but when you understand it, it is very precious. Now, the last part of this verse. And it is his prayer, the prayer of Paul, that the members and the Christians in the Church of Colossae will come to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. To receive is to acknowledge. That is to believe. When you read the Word of God, it may sound difficult. What do you do? I tell you what I do. When I was small, I said, Lord, I do not understand fully, but help me to accept it. Because I know every jot and tittle, every word, every sentence, every paragraph and chapter of your book is true. Right? Pray that. I do not at the moment understand fully, but help me to receive it. It says here, acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Mystery means difficult to understand. At first sight, it says, cannot be. Mystery, right? But when you come to the end of the story and the whole thing is explained, you say, wow, so simple. Now I know. Mystery. God's word is a mystery. The coming of the Messiah was a mystery. People could not understand. The Jews rejected him and crucified him. It was a mystery. They did not understand until one day, soon, we hope, God will lift the blindness of Israel and they will behold him whom they crucified. And they will weep and mourn on that day. Why did we ever crucify our Messiah? That day is coming. That day will reveal, and it will no longer be a mystery to Israel. Today, you don't try to witness to Jews in Israel. Very difficult there. Why? Because eyes are blinded. Now, let's go on. There is the mystery of God and of the Father and of Jesus Christ. To us, is it any more a mystery? Answer is, praise the Lord, no more. Ever since the Holy Spirit opened our understanding, we all saw Jesus as the Lamb of God, God's sent, anointed Savior for you and for me. You knew that, didn't you? The day you heard the gospel, you said, praise the Lord, I'm a sinner in dire need of salvation, and here is my Savior, Jesus Christ. I see him, I acknowledge him, I receive him. Mystery? No more. No more. What happened? Holy Spirit, open your eyes, illumine you, your mind, and you are understood, and you receive Jesus Christ in your heart. Now let's go on, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? The greatest thing you can ever have is the treasure of the Word of God. Nothing else. I repeat that so that you will remember this better. Don't strive very hard on the stock market. It's going down now. But strive very hard to understand the Word of God. Here is assured treasure. You cannot lose. Invest in the Word of God. You cannot be burnt, cannot be, because it is treasure. So pray that God will give you a desire to know. And pray to God, Holy Spirit, please help me to understand that this word written is the word of God, the very word of God, every word of it that I understand, I receive it, I accept it, and I apply it to my life. For that is wisdom, and that's a treasure. I look at verse 4, verse 3. In whom, who is the whom referring to? In Christ. The solution and the understanding to all the mystery is in Jesus Christ. Yes. If you understand him, and no one can understand him fully, but we can understand him within the limits given to us, to say, Jesus Christ, the man, was the Son of God, is the Son of God, alive forevermore for me, up in heaven praying for me. We all understand that, don't we? No longer a mystery. When you understand that, it says here, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are yours. Treasures. You millionaire? No, not in the things of the world, but in the things of God. You are more than a millionaire. Treasures that cannot go waste, that cannot spoil, that cannot be stolen. Nobody can steal the treasure of God from you. Why? Because it's hidden in your heart. And it is there to stabilize you, to strengthen you, and to give you joy and comfort every day. To know I have a Savior who lives right there on the right hand of God, praying for me. Now, this is how to strengthen the Colossian Christians in their times of temptation, times of testing, when those false teachers came. Some of them were shaken, even as a few here were shaken. And then comes the Word of God. And then comes the assurance of the Word of God. Then we know, our God never give us a book with mistakes. How can He be a God and give us mistakes to read? No, impossible. So I say, dear friends, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in this one book inspired for us, remembering that in those days when they were talking, they did not have the full Bible, please understand. Old Testament, yes. Some of the New Testament books were written, some here, but not the whole Bible. Today we have the complete Bible. What a blessing it is. So whenever you take up this book, thank God for the treasure of the wisdom and knowledge that God has given to me in this book. Verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Yes. How are these words enticing? Because those who speak them appear to be very knowledgeable in the Word of God. Appear to be very acceptable, respectable, and well-meaning. Oh yes, they will claim they have your welfare at heart, and they speak very convincingly. Entice, you know what's the meaning of entice? Very persuasive, like as though it's true. Then people get deceived and misled, right? Verse 5, that though I be absent in the flesh, says Paul, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order. This concern of Paul for those he had not met is something we ought to appreciate. When we help churches, missions, in Thailand, for example, in Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai. You say, why do we send money to those people and we bother about their Christian doctrine and send them books and Bibles? Why? Answer is here. Verse 5. Though I be absent, yes, you are absent. Not all of us can go to Chiang Rai. Some could go, some did go. But those of us who did not go, are you interested? Are you concerned? Paul sets the example. Because those believers there are also sheep of the fold of God. And because they are weak and they are in need, we express a oneness, a togetherness with them. And we express a concern for the Bethel Development, whatever, ministry. For Elder Chalo, some of you have seen, and these, Waruni and Billy, all studying here. So we have some idea of what is happening up in North Thailand. And therefore, we are happy to support them. This is the same idea that Paul shows to us. It's none of Paul's business, you say. Why are you concerned about Colossae? You've not been there, you don't know who they are. Ah, my friends, the connection is this. We are family. We are one family with those in Thailand, Saipan, China. Only last week, Pastor Pang Kok Hiong passed through. I said, where are you going this time? Guangdong. Their new group has started. And in the last 2 weeks, they've got 70 converts. My wonderful. We labor for one whole year, we don't get 70 in that 1 week. Because the harvest field there is white. People are believing. People are hungering. And he's going. You say, none of your business. You look after Saipan and Guam. That's good enough. True? No, not true. When you are in the Spirit, when you are in the gospel ministry, you are concerned wherever God enables you, either pray for them, support them, or go. So here Paul says, though I'm absent, yet I'm with you. I'm very concerned that you people in Colossae stand fast in the faith, for there is only one faith, one God, one Jesus Christ, one Holy Spirit, one baptism, one church, only one, not various kinds. So Paul is so forthright. So ought we to be. We must know what we're doing. We must know the grounds on which we stand. The Word of God is our only foundation, and we stand on it four square, never to move. Then we can go on. Now let's read on. He says, though I'm absent, yet I'm with you in the Spirit. This is the same Spirit that helps us to do missions. You say, why send your money overseas? Why? You know, now the government has even relaxed the 80% rule that we are allowed to send more money overseas to those who need our help, to those who can be benefited for the gospel's sake. It allows us to do more. Shall we do more? God help us. So, though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the Spirit. Yes, some weeks you do not see me for 2-3 weeks because I'm elsewhere preaching. I can say the same here. You say, hey, this pastor is again gone on trips overseas, taking leave all the time, holidaying around the place. Dear friends, not once. In all our years of ministering overseas, our vacations with my wife together, only about 4 times in about 20 years. And each time a few days only, 4-5 days. No, we don't go touring or holidaying or sightseeing. In all my times to Canada, we went to the Rockies once, to the Niagara Falls once, no more. The rest of the time, praying and preparing the sermons, so that while absent, I'm actually present with you in the Spirit, because I'm preparing the things to speak to you, to write to you, to encourage you, to comfort you. We're back to the original word, comfort. Oh, how much we need to comfort one another. Now, let's go on. Joying and beholding your good order. Here Paul thanks God that you, Colossian Christians, actually are a good lot. In spite of these false teachers, I can see from what I hear from Epaphras, the one who began the church, the one who is the one in charge. He's told me that you all have good order. You all do unite together, and you have a good agenda in the gospel, and I'm very pleased. These are words of encouragement, and we need so much also words of encouragement, not always exhortation or rebuke, but encouragement. Here is the word of encouragement. Behold your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Amen.